the Jeep Grand Cherokee 4xe. It's electrified. Boogie, woogie, woogie. So you can boogie, woogie, woogie into the forest.
Boogie.
Boogie, woogie, woogie through the mud. Or boogie, woogie, woogie to work, where you boogie, woogie, woogie down the hall to your boss's office to tell him you quit.
Sure got the boogie.
Then you boogie, woogie, woogie to the elevator as he boogie, woogie, woogies after you, begging, please, take me with you.
Boogie.
The electrified Jeep Grand Cherokee 4xe. Learn more at Jeep.com. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Big Thing. Look, the big thing is obviously this Matrix trailer. I did a reaction to it yesterday, but we are going to go through some more detail of what the hell is going to happen in this movie. Did it deliver like we thought it could? Was it a disappointment? What does it mean? What's going to happen? Will there be a trilogy? This is a one-off. Can they deliver? We're going to talk about it, myself and Kate Mulligan, which is going to be fun because she's actually never seen The Matrix, which is going to be even more fun to talk about because she probably had no idea what's going on, but we're going to talk about that. What the hell is the smell in the studio today? We'll talk about that as well. A few other things. But before you do that, just a reminder, myself and Mark Ellis, October 8th, New York Comedy Club. If you can get there, get those tickets. MarkEllis.live. Do that. Make sure that you do that. Please and thank you. 20% off of the Schmodown. If you can get, I think there's like four or five of those, of these left. So make sure that you go and get that. You can get 20% off if you go to the schmodownlive.com. Get tickets for At the Roulette, Brooklyn. So do all that stuff, ladies and gentlemen. That is, of course, the big thing. I'm excited to get going. Let's break it down. Let's start talking. Me and Kate Mulligan on the big thing. Let's do it. Shoes and beef. Beef and shoes and beef, beef and beef, beef, beef and beef and beef.
Hey.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to The Big Thing. Man, am I excited to have you. It's been really fun to talk to you all. I mean, I did a solo show the other day on Wednesday, and that was great. I took some questions, went over some of the news stories. I like doing things at my own pace right now. I have to tell you, it's a lot different than the way I used to do things in the past. And it's working. Thank you to all the new subscribers that have joined us here today. Thank you for old subscribers coming back. Getting a lot of comments of people saying, hey, you know, I took some time off and I rediscovered the channel and really feels old school. And that's what we were going for. So thank you so much. Make sure you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of that. And like I like to do when I'm bringing, when I'm talking about topics that I really want to discuss, I got to bring on experts in the category. So who better to talk about The Matrix than this young lady?
I really thought you were going, I like to bring on idiots. And you know what? You did the funnier
morons.
Joke.
Yeah. Pure yeah. morons yeah. to talk about this shit with
yeah.
me. And this is the best moron I could find
yes.
today. No, you well, know what? I had no idea whether or not you had ever seen The Matrix or not.
If you're a betting man.
If I was a betting man, I'd say no, you probably didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know, though, because you were... You're younger than I am, but you were probably...
Thank you.
But yes, but when you were... But at that time, you were going to the movies. You didn't have kids, you know?
No,
there was
right.
And that was a massive film when that... Hey!
Whoa.
When that came out. Yeah.
Here comes the sun. But when was it? When was the first one?
99.
So I'm a junior in high school.
So what does that mean? You don't go to the movies?
No, it means I'm doing calculus projects.
Were you a fucking super nerd?
Dude.
Are you really?
Dude.
I could see that you're like,
dude.
You know, what happened?
I didn't have sex till I was 21. I didn't drink till I was 21. And then
you
I
just
got
said,
in.
Fuck it. When I you just, get turned
on. 21, I was like, everyone, all at once.
Yeah.
Bring me all the dicks now.
Come on.
It's you have like, a dick? Come.
It's like the end of Matrix 3, which you have no idea what we're talking about. But if you know the movie, it's like she all the Agent Smiths just started running at her when she turned 21 years old at lightning speed. And she was like Neo, just like, come on. Bop, 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 bop.
I was like, yeah. 100%. Now I know there's freezing in the air. That was pretty cool.
Yes.
Anyway, I for whatever reason, I was just. I,
not seeing movies.
I don't know. I saw like movies like we would. Back when I was a kid, like we would like film things on VHS okay. that came on TV or whatever.
Well, Roxy also has never seen the first Matrix or any of the Matrix, rather, you know. And it's funny because that movie is so iconic.
Yes.
And there's so yes. much. You just, A, never gave a shit.
Right.
B, said, I'm going to watch it. never got around to it.
Right.
Which one was it?
The latter.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. 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 It's not that
I
want to
see it. Just when it happens.
Yeah. It seems actually absurd that I haven't seen it, but yeah. I'm also somebody who didn't know Dumbledore dies. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm just like a little bit out of it.
But the Dumbledore thing. That's not as. I mean, if there are some people just not into it, right?
By the way, Dumbledore dies.
Oh yeah. Well, if you didn't know that already, tough shit. But The Matrix is, and if you guys are brand new to the channel or you weren't aware, on Fridays we do a Star Wars show called Sith Council. We started doing rewatch series of films and of the live-action Star Wars movies. Yes. It's been really popular. They've been working pretty well. So I announced on the show on Wednesday we're going to do one for Spider-Man, and it's going to be me, Coy, and Winston.
Oh, that's awesome.
That are going to be doing all the Spider-Man films, right, leading up to it. So we should obviously do a rewatch for Matrix.
Yes.
However, it wouldn't be rewatch for you. It would be a first watch for you, but a rewatch for me. And I could call it a rewatch, but I think it's adds a little to it. Bringing someone in who has never seen the movies and then having that conversation. Because I am very curious after we break down this trailer today, like for someone who's never seen the movie at all, like the thoughts of going into what it was, what do you think's happening? It's pretty fascinating. That's actually why I wanted to have you on today. So we could talk about that and you know, I'm gonna try not to spoil. I'll probably spoil some stuff for you in the first one. I mean, it's 20 some odd years later.
Yeah,
so.
I was gonna say I'm not entitled to any spoilers.
To spoilers or whatnot. But but before we get into that, what did you think the smell was when you walked in?
Did a hippie move in here overnight. It smells, I don't know how to, it smells like Pledge cleaning.
Yeah, right.
It's tea tree oil is what it smells like. Somebody was like, oh, I belong to Young Living and I'm going to diffuse these and it's going to clean our sinuses, but it's in my mouth in a way.
So you're close.
I'm close.
It is tea tree oil. That you're right. As far as why, as far as clean your souls. Yes.
Ants?
Oh, no.
No.
Doing the Matrix trailer reaction today.
Yeah.
So I wake up I set my alarm because people are always, they say to me, they go, you know, because I did say, I don't want to be one of these people that are running around just to try to beat the rush and get things out first. If I do, I do.
Right.
And I want to do stuff that I'm excited for.
Right.
Matrix, I was excited
for.
Yeah,
no, it was your number one for 2021, I feel like.
Dune, now Many Saints in Newark. It's
in the top
five. It's
in
there, and it's so much. Someone asked me if I want to see it in the theater. Hell yeah, I want to see this movie in the theater. You know, we'll see by the time we get to December what we're looking at. But so I looked, and Warner Brothers said, we're releasing this shit at 5:59 a.m. And in my head, I go, I'm usually up at that time anyway.
Yeah, I got a puppy.
Puppy, kids going to school. Yeah. I'm usually up, but I realized what I needed to do is the family usually gets up around anywhere between 6:45 to 7.
Yes.
So it gave me a window.
Yes.
I said, okay, if I can get myself up at that time, I can watch this trailer and then I can just give my actual thoughts on it because I want to see it anyway. So I didn't set the alarm because I figured I'd let the puppy do it. And let me up. He sleeps through the whole night last night, which is great, but he gets up right around like 6 or whatever. I'm like, oh, the trailer's out.
Perfect.
This is great. So I grab him, go outside. I say, go, and then I'm doing this thing with him now. I take him outside in the backyard. When he pees, I give him a little treat. He gets excited. Now he runs over. He's like, where's the treat, fucker? You know, like he knows. So I'm like, okay, we're good. So you see him he's in the trailer reaction twice, and he's moving around. So I'm like, okay. I do the trailer reaction. I got it. Done. Get my coffee. Bring him back. Everything is awesome.
I don't know why it took me this long in the story to realize what happened.
So then the little one comes out. She needs to watch him go. She'll take him out to go to the bathroom, go poop. He's not going. I go, Maisie, go check if he pooped on the fireplace, please. And she walks over. She goes, no poop on the fireplace. I go, I know where you went, you fuck. Right behind that treadmill, he took a big fat dump, and it was massive. And I said, I have to do a show here, and it fucking stinks.
Oh, my God. It's a different treadmill
I
mug.
Close the massive. Yeah. It has got a new meaning. So I said, what can fix it? So I know that I had used the tea tree oil not too long ago.
Yeah.
One drop.
Yeah.
And it's like, it'll get you.
Yeah.
That's half the bottle on that fucking thing back there. So
it's actually, I actually feel my skin detoxing.
But you only smell that though, right?
I do not smell dog shit at all.
And that's what I took. I decided to take that price And I said, that's what I'm going to do. Because when I walked in here after the thing was shut, I was like, that's solid.
That's
I'm like, that's solid what you just did. The dog weighs 9 pounds or 8 pounds. I was like, that's what you just did there.
Was 2 to 3 pounds.
That's like my Uncle Mark after like a thing of wings. That's not what a little 9 pound pug should have done. And he did it despite me.
That's why he slept so well. He had a full
belly. Shit. Well, the motherfucker, he could have went in the backyard before I took him.
Yes.
And he peed and he got his treat.
Yeah.
But right in the middle, this reaction took me no more than 8 to 9 minutes to do.
Yeah.
And this little asshole couldn't keep his asshole shut.
Yeah. That's what it took him to take that shit, too.
I'm trying to find the footage when I'm watching it because people are like, oh, there he is. I'm like, oh, yeah, there he is. He's moving his little ass around, like trying to make the moves. And at one point, I wish, and I really did wish that the camera picked him up taking the dump, but it's over there.
Oh, it's over
and
there.
He's got his spot. Oh, and the other reason I put the tea tree oil there is because they tell you, like, put like a strong smell, like vinegar or whatever, and the dog knows, oh, I'm not going over there. That's rough. Like, you think that dog's going to go over there to have the bottle of tea tree oil? You want to jump out the window.
I'm not even going over there.
You want to jump out the window.
I'll tell you what, I'll take tea tree oil every day over dog shit.
That's what I'm saying.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's why. And I was thinking of you.
Yeah.
So I was like, you want to sit in the dump? Or you want to sit in tea tree oil? This is all for you, Kate.
Thank you.
It's always for you.
Thank you. It's in my rider.
It is in your rider. If the dog shits near the treadmill, you have to dump half a bottle of tea tree oil on
it. If the dog shits near where I sit, then you got to put some Lalabo perfume on it.
Hey, listen, I got to be honest with you. I got to be honest with you. You know, sometimes you just got to sit in the shit. But, you know, if you got a waiver, then the waiver needs to be executed with a half a bottle of Troy oil. Is what I'm saying.
Listen, I got to tell you, I got two things in my rider. One, I need tea tree oil at all times in case there's a dog shit.
That's it.
Two,
right.
I need a bowl of Cheerios every time I leave here.
That's right.
I don't know why, but I'll tell you what. Those are the two things.
It's something in the tea tree oil.
Do something in that tea tree oil.
It makes you think of Cheerios. Imagine you ask him, agent. Ask him about, you know, just in case a dog shits. Like, and you know, even if you know that there's no dog at all, you just make that part of your waiver. If a dog shits anywhere, like where we are, even like outside, God, you have to dump tea tree oil. Like the biggest star, that's what you should do. Not the M&Ms and all that nonsense. Like ask really random stuff. Like if a dog shits near anywhere near, like outside the trailer, anywhere, you have to dump half a bottle of tea tree oil on it. Like, how random is that?
Dude, I think that is, like, such a funny idea to do joke waivers. Yes. Like, if you're
see who you get away with.
Yeah, like, if you're somebody who's, like, famous, who's getting
like
writers.
Like, Julia Roberts in, like, 97.
Yeah.
Like, what could she have gotten away with?
She'd be like, listen, if anybody has a dog, specifically a pug, and it's going to be anywhere within, I need written notice 3 days in advance
that
the pug will be on set.
If you're going to go on vacation, even if you're not working on this set, on another movie, but you tend to work with me one time, you need to write me a letter and in crayon. Otherwise, I won't do the movie.
Everyone must wear a vial of their brother's blood around
their neck. That's
Angelina Jolie. I know, that's Angelina Jolie, right? Everyone must. What does Angie want for Mr. and Mrs. Smith? Oh, everybody's supposed to wear a vial of their brother's blood. What if you don't have a brother?
Figure it out.
Progressive presents Adjusting to the Suburbs.
I never thought about space in my cramped apartment, but in this house, all I see is empty space. The sofa and ottoman look like tiny islands in a sea of hardwood floors. I could get two ottomans in the living room, but then I'd need another sofa. I could tell people I'm into minimalism.
Anyway, when you save with Progressive by bundling your home and auto, that's the easy part of adjusting to the suburbs. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers.
Anyway, so we'll get into this trailer. The thing starts out, and did you notice Neil Patrick Harris, the Dukes?
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
all right, so ask me questions.
I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions.
Look at this. This has always been here.
Oh, my God.
It's always been here.
Look at that.
Loving that.
That is...
Got Agent Smith over there.
Sarah Connor. I'm just kidding. You know, I finally seen The Terminator.
The first one. You told me the first one. You loved it.
I loved
it. It's phenomenal.
Loved it.
Yeah.
You're getting me into all of the things I should have seen,
yes.
So I appreciate this. This is what I know about The Matrix. There's a pills.
Yes.
There's a pill thing.
There's a pill.
And then the guy that played Elrond in Lord of the Rings is a bad guy in it, or like an agent in it.
Yeah, Agent Smith.
Agent Smith. And yes. I like to call him Elrond Hubbard. L. Ron Hubbard, yes. L. Ron. And Keanu Reeves' name is Neo. Those are the things I know about The Matrix. But how did it take them four? So this is my first question. How did it take them four films to use White Rabbit in the?
It didn't. They used it in the first one.
They used it in the first one too. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And so this is sort of you. Do you feel like this is definitely the last?
No.
No.
Not so. Interesting. No. So this is where I stand on the movies. A lot of people know this from a conversation I did. So on Wednesday. The big thing was the little teaser that they put out, and the question was, can this movie, aptly named Resurrections, resurrect the franchise?
Gotcha.
Because the first one, groundbreaking.
Yes.
Everybody talked in that year was not The Matrix. It was Episode One, Star Wars. Matrix stole the show.
Yeah.
Because they went, what the hell is this? Nobody knew what The Matrix was when they came out. And everybody was talking about The Matrix, set all these box office records. Keanu Reeves was a star from Speed and these other things.
Yeah.
But he wasn't necessarily, I mean, even though he's in Point Break and these other things, he wasn't like he's a badass now, right?
Yes.
When you think of John Wick, he's a badass.
Yes.
And because of what he does, and he's still 50-some-odd years old, and he's doing all of his stunts and everything too, he's beloved. But there was still like this thing with Keanu Reeves. He's kind of goofy sometimes. And even when in the first Matrix, he does this thing where he goes, and it's like silly.
Yeah.
So people were like, okay, what is this? And it just delivers. Like, and it was groundbreaking as far as the tech went and the special effects and everything. The Wachowskis had done like Bound, and that was a movie with Gina Gershon and Tilly, and that was really it.
The Wachowskis, it's like the Wachowski brothers or something. Wachowski.
Lana Wachowski. So they both trans.
Okay.
And so.
Excuse me.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Yeah.
But yes, so the Wachowskis, now Lana is directing this one.
Gotcha. I'm. Yep. My
All
mistake.
Good. No. It's okay. Yeah. But that's when in 99. So they had done Bound, and so this hits and Joel Silver was the producer of the movie too.
Oh my God.
So anyway, movie hits. It's massive. It's just it just sets records. People are losing their minds. 99. So then 2002, so they did something that nobody was doing, and still really hasn't happened, I don't think, since. Maybe I'm wrong, but.
You'll be told.
I know, I'll be told. Maybe Back to the Future did it. I don't remember, but 2003, actually, not two. The second one comes out during the summer.
Okay.
And the third one came out in December of that year.
Or no, you lie. So two in 1 year?
Two in 1 year. So people were losing their minds that they were going to get the end of this trilogy in that time.
Whoa, so you're saying we haven't had a Matrix since 2003?
Yes. So there was a little series, which honestly, and I think most people will agree, I know there are some people who don't, but most people agree that the best, I mean, obviously the best is Matrix. Not getting a lot of pushback on that. The second best is actually the Animatrix, which is an animated series that they did leading up to the events of 2.
Okay.
And
it's like Clone Wars is to Star Wars.
Yes, and it is. They did something for Clone Wars, the Tarkovsky Clone Wars, which are not canon anymore. And really, now that they've done this new series, but this is the Animatrix,
okay.
And everything that it does, kind of leading up to it, got people really hyped. Second one comes out, and people are very confused, myself included. I remember leaving the theater and talking to my friend. I don't know if you remember Mike Ponce, but I was in my ex-girlfriend, this guy Mike Ponce, this other girl, we went, and he's like, I don't know, man. And I go, look, you can't really judge it yet because it's clearly a part two. And it's leading, I go, because if 3 delivers, then look out. This is going to be a great trilogy. It's going to be up there with Star Wars and Lord of the Rings. So 2 was a good setup for me anyway. There's some silly, they spoofed it. There was like this silly rave scene that they do. You'll see it.
Okay.
And then the third one comes out, and people are like, well, that was terrible.
Okay.
It's what happens inside of it, the lore. I haven't seen the third one since 2003.
Oh, so this will be a good rewatch for you.
It will.
Also, it seems to me that it doesn't seem like you, when you push something out that quickly. And I think
they shot them both at the same time.
They did. Okay.
Yeah.
And was it just that they had too much footage to just put it into, or that
no,
was always
I think
the plan
it was always,
they
I think it was
too.
The plan. I think that they got too complex with it. I think that Hugo Weaving, who is Agent Smith.
L. Ron Hubbard.
Yes. He, his character is iconic in the first movie. I think they give him way too much, not too much to do because he's a great actor.
Yeah.
The character himself, of what happens to the character, is a bit silly, in my opinion.
He turns into a clown.
Yeah, what they set up at the end of the first one with Neo, I thought they were going to deliver on differently, and they didn't. I don't know. I have to go back and watch it again to really give my thoughts on it. But I remember there's something at the end of the movie, the third one, that plays very much so into this.
Okay.
Because, so before I get into that, so now for someone who's never seen The Matrix and has no idea, so what did you gather from this? Or do you know anything about The Matrix at all story-wise?
No, I don't know
besides
anything about
the slow motion shit, the story.
But I do feel like, oh, my earring's doing the thing again.
Yeah, I was wondering what that was.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I will tell you guys, I always wear electromagnetic earrings just to piss Christian off.
Okay. Well, you're not pissing me off. You're pissing them off. You sent
you
three people into the...
And by Christian, I mean you guys.
Yeah, right off the highway. Someone's trying to... Listen, I was so curious what was happening, and it's that...
Sadie likes these earrings, too.
Give them to her. All right. So we don't have to ever listen to that stupid sound again.
I'll just not wear them.
You knew nothing about the story.
I know nothing about the story, but I can tell, can we...
Whatever you speculate, yeah.
Talk about the trailer, though? Maybe it's not.
Yeah.
They're far away now. So he's seeing his therapist.
Yes.
And he's having... Neil Patrick Harris. And he's having... he feels like this thing that has happened. He's like, am I crazy? Whatever. So to me, I'm sort of like, he's been in the Matrix, whatever that is. And like, it looks like he's going back into it, but it looks like he's maybe gone out of it and lived a normal life. And now is having flashbacks of it.
Ish.
Okay.
Do me a favor. I don't think it's them.
I really don't think it's them.
What is that now? Is it your watch? Put your watch up there. It's like you are in the Matrix.
You guys, it's my tin tits.
All this is I know how bad of a memory she has. I just ripped her off around $2,000. All of that stuff is mine now.
You're like, put your purse over there.
The teacher earlier was to hypnotize you to take off your.
I think
watch
I'm in the Matrix
earrings.
Right
you
now.
Are.
The teacher. So is that how he gets into the Matrix?
You're not far off. Not far off as far as some types of things, right? Now, what happens in the first one? There's a lot of things that happen in the first one that it looks like they're doing again.
Okay.
And the question is why?
Okay.
Right? Because there's something that they say at the end of the third film. That this type of thing has happened a million times over and can for years and years and years and years. So the question is this before the events of the third one? Is this way afterwards? Lawrence Fishburne is Morpheus.
Yes.
Is not in this film.
No.
Which people are like, holy shit.
Yeah.
He wasn't asked to be in this film. So there wasn't a place for him. It seems like there's a new, whether that is a new Morpheus or...
Yes.
Question is it a new Morpheus? He's certainly playing the role of the same type of character that Morpheus did. Whether or not it is Morpheus, we don't know.
Okay.
In the original, you know, the woman kind of says, you've got to follow me.
Yes.
That is Video Drew. But is that role in the original is essentially Trinity, who's the one he meets, Carrie Ann Moss, who he meets in the store and says, have we met?
Yes.
So
and they do a if I ever meet anybody and they give me a little fangy while they're shaking my hand, I'll know we have met. I won't have to ask that question.
I mean, so that's why he says to him, you know why you're going back. You know, it's for her. So there's so much that happens in those movies that she's the one that in the first one finds him.
Yeah.
And brings him to Morpheus and has all these things. So so the trailer is to me was okay. Well, we're getting back into this thing. My biggest problems with 2 and 3 is they spent enough time in the Matrix, but it didn't. The whole part of the first one was so interesting was the maneuvering of the Matrix, how you were able to play inside of the Matrix, what you could do, what part because even though you're connected, the Matrix to your brain, like if you die in the Matrix, you die because you think because your brain associates it with happening, even though it's not reality. So he is he's back there again. And he's doing these things, and it seems in the first one, it takes him some time to discover how to maneuver. It looks like in this one, they're like he figures it out pretty quick how to re-maneuver.
Yeah, and there's that like sort of training scene with the guy.
So that scene is very reminiscent to when Lawrence Fishburne trains him in the first one, and he's teaching him how to do kung fu, and he's kicking his ass, right? And then he finally starts to figure it out. In this one, he's just like, "You don't know me,"
and he says, "Ooh."
"He's like, I got this," and and he's figuring it out really fast because what I don't want to see is the same movie. I like piecing together things and saying, okay, this is reminiscent. This is kind of resurrecting and showing moments that have happened, but they happen differently this time. It's almost like the multiverse of what they're doing in parallel universes. In one universe, they catch Loki. In the other universe, he gets away. In this one, Neo figures it out pretty quick.
Right. And do you think it's because he's already been there? I mean, is that
so, I mean,
like
he,
some part of him is remembering?
So there's two sides of it. Yeah, I think that it goes back to that question. Does this take place before the events of Matrix 1?
Right.
Like, is this one of the many versions of Neo? Or is this after the events and he's somehow rebooted into the Matrix and Trinity is still around at this point?
Right.
So...
Does he always take the same color pill?
I mean, I would assume so, because when there's a big speech that Morpheus gives him in the first movie and a reason why he's got to do what he's doing.
Because they showed, in the trailer, they showed just one color of pill getting tossed.
Yeah, so
I mean, they showed both pills.
Yeah, they showed both, and it looks like he does, I mean, a lot of those moments, it's just, I think that what's fun about this, and it's funny you bring up Terminator, because I brought this up the other day, there's, in my opinion, two good Terminator movies. There's moments in other Terminator movies that are fine.
Yeah.
And some of them are watchable and some of them are just god-awful. They never could grab the franchise and put it back on the tracks.
Yeah.
I think it was always there. They always had an opportunity. I still think to this day, if they just go back to basics and make it a small budget, almost horror film like they did for the first movie, get back to its roots. That's how you can save that franchise. They keep going too big budget with it, and it continues to fail.
Yeah.
Matrix is a big budget franchise in general.
Right.
It's the same hope that people had for Terminator getting back on board. That's what Matrix is right now. Because a lot of movies, if they put out a movie, you know, what, 18 years later, people go, too late.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. People care about this.
Yes.
They want it to be good.
Yeah.
If they save it, if this is a great movie, then to answer your earlier question, yes, let's do another one. Let's do two more. Hell, let's do a TV show on HBO Max.
Because I sort of felt like the way that trailer ended, I was like, I don't remember the exact words, but it's like, let's go back to where this thing started.
Right.
And I sort of was like, is that a little tip of the old hat to, like, let's get back to Matrix 1.
100%. Okay. I think that's exactly what Lana Wachowski is doing here. I think she looked at it and said, okay, I am listening to the critiques and the stuff that had happened. Tried something with 2 and 3. You can't deny. I mean, there are many directors and writers that will go, no, proud of it, keeping it, doing exactly what we did before. And she very well might be proud.
Yes.
Of 2 and 3, and that is her right to do.
Of course.
However, you can also look and go, okay, but you look at what the audience is saying, and they really want to get back to basics.
Yes.
And so what if we shifted a little bit, made a couple, let's listen to the mistakes, and let's take a shot here.
Right.
So I am very, very intrigued about this film. I am very excited about this movie. I love the idea of giving this another chance. I never thought... It's dead. Leave it alone. You can't fix it. When there's certain movies that have such a great start, and because normally it's always, okay, if there's 3 movies or 4 movies, one of them's not good, but usually the other ones are good. This one was like, the first one was good, the second one was, and the third one was bad.
Let me ask you, looking at like the sequel trilogy, sequels, trilogies of Star Wars, where it's sort of like, in Last Jedi, it sort of undoes what Force Awakens set up.
Right.
And then Rise of Skywalker undoes what Last Jedi set up because there's not whatever. Do you mind if Matrix 4 undoes what Matrix 3 set up?
No, I don't mind at all.
Okay.
If they rebooted the whole damn thing, I would be absolutely, absolutely fine with that. I'm going to try to, I know we're getting a little glitchy here, so I'm going to try to shut some stuff down here, ladies and gents. Give me a second. I'm going to see if this helps. Because I can see for some reason.
That there's a delay.
It gets glitchy for some reason. I don't know why it's.
Is it the tea tree oil, do you think?
It could be the tea tree oil. Absolutely. It might be too many programs open. It might be. I don't know what it is, but it does every once in a while.
When I'm doing SEN, I can't have Twitch on. I can't have Twitch open. Otherwise, my computer's like, we cannot do this. This is not.
It's a little better. Okay. I think it's a little better. Anyway, so yeah, to answer your question, I think that I would be absolutely okay. That's the beauty of this premise, is that they can do that,
and they can
say certain things, and they can retcon certain things. I don't think anybody's going to really care if they retcon some stuff and essentially reboot the Matrix,
right.
You know, pun intended.
Which is, I feel like that's maybe even the exact thing the guy says
that's
at
what
the
they're
end of
the yeah. It started, and if they can start it all over again, and they... I'm not crazy about the idea, though, that it's like a prequel and it happens thousands of years beforehand.
Yeah.
Because then that means, okay, well, then eventually we're going to get to where we did.
Right.
I would prefer it happens afterwards.
Okay.
But I don't know. We're gonna see. I'm so curious to what you guys think out there about this movie. I know a lot of people are pretty excited about it, as I think people should be. It's coming out at the end of the year. A lot of great movies coming out at the end of the year with this and Dune and at Many Saints in Newark. Did you see, you still haven't watched any Sopranos yet either, have you?
No, but can I tell you, I did watch Suicide Squad.
It's
The Suicide Squad.
The first one. You skip over the other one. Yeah. And you loved it.
I loved it. Right? Why have I not been?
I just watched it last week. So, I mean, you're not.
In general, like, are DC movies all this, like, is this like a general vibe? Or is this particular?
Not necessarily. The Snyder Cut I really enjoyed.
Okay.
I don't think that you're going to enjoy that as much as you would enjoy. I know your sense of humor.
Yes.
This was a James Gunn film.
James Gunn is, he's up there with Taika Waititi for me
right now.
Also, Taika Waititi was in it.
He was. He certainly was. James Gunn was allowed to do a James Gunn movie even more so than he was. He had more handcuffs on for Guardians 1 and 2 because he's got a warped sense of humor.
Yeah.
In Guardians, you got to keep it PG-13.
Right.
This was not PG-13.
No.
The conversations are incredible. How great is that whole thing with Milton? Who's Milton?
Oh, yeah. No.
It's amazing.
So good.
There's stuff going
also,
on.
Also, the way that they use, without spoiling anything, but the way that they use text in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. And I know that the other movies have done that sort of thing.
It's very
creative. But it's beautiful. Very
creative. It's a gorgeous movie.
When there's like a, it's very.
It's gorgeous.
It's not me. You just got to know it's not me.
There's something going on.
I'm telling you. Is it this key? It's not.
I don't know.
Is it this key?
I don't know.
Is it this key? It's feedback.
Yeah, maybe it's two microphones close to each other.
Two microphones close.
I don't know what's going on, but either way.
But I can see it in your eye. You're like, every time it happens, I can see you.
What is it?
You're glitching.
I know. But there was a lot of stuff, by the way, inside of that I can't wait for you to see when you see The Matrix, because there's stuff that happens in the beginning, even with the first shot is like the black cat.
Mm.
That's something that happens. And okay. So in the first Matrix, they're in The Matrix and they're on a mission. And this cat walks by.
Yes.
And then Neo's walking up the stairs and he looks back and the same cat. Also, he goes, oh, that was weird. He's like, deja vu. And Trinity's like, wait, what did you see? And he's like, the cat. It just came back. He's like, she goes, was it two different cats or was it the same cat? He's like,
well, I'm already freaking out.
And it meaning that deja vu, it was an explanation of what deja vu was. Deja vu means it was a glitch in the Matrix. It means that they changed something. So if they changed something inside of where they were, so. If we saw deja vu, turns around and there would no longer be a wall there. It would be open. And so that way the agents could get in to come get them.
Oh, wow.
It's trippy. It's fucking
awesome. Oh, that's
trippy. Yeah, it's awesome. So he sees that cat again, which was great when that showed up. So there's so much. I can't wait to do that rewatch with you. I've been doing a lot of rewatches. And it's funny because I might even do, because I had no plan of doing this, but when I rewatched The Sopranos, I might just do a full, because I can't do season by season now because I'm already in season 5, but review-wise. But I think maybe just do a full season full series review before we get to Many Saints.
Yes.
Did you see the new trailer for Many Saints? Did you see the first trailer?
I saw the first trailer. I did,
The new one came out yesterday. It's funny because it seemed like, It seemed like a lot of people didn't realize it dropped because the first one like really popped. Everybody like was talking about it and it was all over the place. And then this one dropped and it only did like 200,000 or 300,000 on the Warner Brothers page. And my brother didn't even know that it dropped. And I had done a trailer reaction to it, did okay or whatever it was. But more people knew and were talking about the first one because everybody who's watched the second trailer has lost their minds over
right.
it. But it wasn't, right. It didn't catch fire the same way the other one did.
That's so interesting. I mean, I feel like people are legitimately
excited about
this, of course, because it's also, I think there's something about, I mean, that we lost James Gandolfini too,
sure.
that like, this is like an angle where, because you can't, there's, I don't want to see a Sopranos movie that doesn't have James Gandolfini in it, unless it's about the childhood.
And we do have a Gandolfini in it.
Yeah.
So the fact that his son is.
I'm trying to remember what his son was in that I was like, not that good.
I don't think his son was ever in it. This is his first role.
No, he was in something.
This is his first role.
No, the
I think you're wrong.
I think
Michael Gandolfini. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, does he have more than one son?
I don't think so.
I'm telling you, he was in a thing.
It was like
the Julia Roberts movie, not Julia Roberts,
really?
The Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I swear. Well, I'm gonna look it up.
Look it up. Maybe you're right. The one that he was in with.
I don't know, but I remember thinking like, probably, he's not as good. It's like it's how everybody feels about poor Jeffrey Jordan, Michael Jordan's son. It's like, that's a bummer.
Oh, I don't know.
Marcus Jordan too.
That's you.
It's.
That's
but also,
you.
It sometimes happens when you're moving.
I don't know what that is.
Is it the Oculus? Get the fucking Oculus. Oh!
The dog was eating the Oculus, and I said, dog,
no,
get
you're
out of here.
Oh, it might have been the... Look, it was the Oculus.
Think so?
I think so. I don't hear it
anymore. The Oculus isn't even on.
You know what, Christian? I'm done with your attitude.
You here. Should. I'll dump some tree oil in your head. All right, why don't you look that up?
Okay, I'm going to look it up.
While you look
is
that up...
Is this good content?
No, while you look that up, I'm going to bring up... something else I want to bring up to you guys because I've made it very clear, and I was here the other day talking about it, and I'm pretty excited to continue to let you guys know about DraftKings. DraftKings is it's phenomenal, and as you guys know, football it's coming up, it's right around the corner, and if you want to get in on the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, which is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. With the NFL returning, DraftKings is going to give new customers $200 in free bets instantly when you bet $1 or more on any football game. Listen up because you don't want to miss this great offer. Head to the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now and place a bet of $1 or more on any Week 1 game to receive $200 in free bets instantly. If Sportsbook is not yet available in your state, DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contests. And for Week 1, DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at a $1 million top prize. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching a game quite like having a free shot at $1 million top prize. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the promo code SENLIVE to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. You get a free shot at $1 million prize with your first deposit. That promo code, one more time, is SENLIVE for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum of $5 deposit and $1 wager required, one per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. What'd you find out, Kate?
He was in The Deuce, that TV
the hell
show.
Is that?
It's that James Franco played played twins.
Okay, how old was he?
No, it was 2018. It was that HBO show.
And you watched it?
He was. This is what I'll say. It's like his first pretty meaty role.
Okay.
And yeah, I did watch it.
Okay.
Because also Maggie Gyllenhaal. It was a really incredible show. It's okay. If you like sex, you'll love The Deuce. It's actually about the porn industry and sort of the red light district and you know. And I want to say it was Michael K. Williams. Nah, I'm not going to say that because I don't actually remember. But anyway, Method Man was in it.
Okay.
It was just like I had a friend that was in it. It was a great show. Only two
but
seasons
he was in it.
And he was in it and he played the guy that played Sabatka on The Wire. Who is just one of the greatest actors?
Okay, so this kid plays his son,
right, and it's a pretty big role. And it just wasn't. But that being said, like, I'm being unfair because, like, again, it's his first. Like, you look at anything I've ever done, you'd be like, that woman's not good.
You look at him in this role. There's something that he says in the second trailer.
I'm sure he's channeling his father.
It's crazy. Sure it's crazy. Yeah. Like there's when Livia Soprano is talking to him in the kitchen and he looks up and he's, I can't remember exactly what he says, but he says something, but it's just the same kind of tone and inflection of the voice of Tony Soprano, everything about it. You forget that it's Gandolfini's son, and you think it's Tony Soprano as a kid. Yeah,
that's everything.
Everything that's set up, it's crazy. I had a couple issues with the trailer. The fact that the trailer itself looks great. The story looks great. There's a couple things, timeline stuff that David Chase is already kind of backpedaling on. I'm watching season 5 right now.
Yeah.
And I made this in the reaction. I talked about this. So Christopher Moltisanti, played by Michael Imperioli, brilliantly, right? Him and Steve Buscemi have to go up to this farm, their Uncle Pat's farm, that they went years, and they have to do this, and they got to like dig up these bodies that were buried there. So he's telling his fiance beforehand, he starts telling her about when he was younger, he like idolized these guys. Tony B is Steve Buscemi and Tony Soprano, and he idolized them. And he said, I was like 10 or 11 years old, and they were like 18 or 19 or whatever they were, you know, and I always remembered it. So give or take 10 years of difference. In this trailer, Tony Soprano's like 16, 17, and they introduced baby Christopher. So now that's 17 years.
Yeah.
And David Chase in some interview said, yeah, but, you know, characters remember things differently.
Yeah.
That's you're remembering, you know, when you're 9 years old, you remember if somebody's either 19 or 25 or 26. Yes. I mean, that's what ultimately Tony would be at that 100%. Point. So, but Coy Jandrew's calling me right now because I know he wants to talk about the Matrix also. Should we talk about
that? Yeah, let's talk to
Coy real quick. We'll talk to Coy. Coy, you're on the air.
Hey, how we doing?
Good. You're on the air at the moment. It's funny because I know. So Coy is. I was this morning. I called Coy for everybody to see if he can come in the Matrix. But he one upped us and went on the Real Reject show this morning. So.
But now I'm covering it by proxy over the air.
That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, there you go. That's Hi, true. Coy.
That's Kate Mulligan.
Oh, he can't hear me. He can.
Hi, Kate.
Yeah. So hey, so Coy, you know what? We did something here today, a little interesting, because we're breaking down that trailer and talking about the trailer. But what was interesting is that Kate's actually never even seen the first Matrix.
Whoa.
Yeah. So we're gonna do, as you know, how you and I and Winston are gonna do our rewatch on Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Kate and I are gonna do a rewatch of Matrix, a rewatch for me, but someone kind of first eyes watching it.
Kate, it is the most formative piece of cinema, I think, maybe of my entire life.
It's true. I haven't heard your thoughts yet on the new trailer. What did you think?
I think it's a beautiful commentary on us choosing to plug ourselves into the Matrix. I think it's looking at the allegory of, obviously, social media, the shot of the phones in the box that is the elevator. It's humans putting themselves in a box. So we've got the visual metaphor of the box, Neo looking out of the box while people are looking into their devices. So choosing to plug in, he's choosing to plug in through the blue pills. I think there's a potential that the red pills being given to him by the new Morpheus, by the allegory for Morpheus, by the concept of Morpheus, might actually be a mislead that the machines have created a construct of Morpheus, having him younger in Yahya Abdul-Mateen, and that's keeping Neo trapped in the Matrix because he subconsciously remembers more than he thinks he does. And through those memories, he inherently knows to trust Morpheus, and Morpheus is actually a construct. I think the person that's bringing him out of this world is a combination of the White Rabbit bringing him down the rabbit hole in Jessica Henwick and the Sati character we met in the third film. So I think Morpheus is a mislead, and it's all an allegory for putting ourselves in the Matrix itself.
I love
You're
that.
An idiot.
I love that breakdown. I really do. So the question I have for you then, I was worried about, I don't want this because I know that it's like, in the third one, they mentioned how this is just kind of a program that keeps on going and going. What I don't want to happen, I'm hoping that this movie doesn't take place before Matrix 1. I hope it takes place afterwards.
So the shot of him in the mirror that briefly flashed, I believe that is Thomas Anderson's real age. I think what happens is there's a brief shot of him in a pod being reconstructed by machines. I think they kept his body alive even after he unplugged in Zion, were able to get him back, reprogram him, but the image we see of him is his residual self image. Mm. Remember in the first film, his hair grew back?
Yep.
I think your residual self-image is him younger, and that older shot is him actually in real life, and therefore the film takes place like 40 to 50 years after the events of the first 30.
I hope so.
And that's why I had to program a new Yaya.
Yeah, see, I like that also. But and then, well, what's the answer and the fix for Trinity then?
So I think in this case, Trinity is also plugged back in. We saw that shot of her with the shaved head actually in the pod.
Yeah.
I think the difference between, so in the Matrix mythology, it's already happened six times. Remember right. The architect describing,
yeah.
You know, he's not the first Neo?
Yeah.
I think this is the seventh Matrix.
Okay.
And it's one where they've figured out how to use the sun as a benefit. There's a very clear shot of the sun, of him reaching up towards the sun. So I think they have figured out how to use or reignite the sun so they don't need humans as much. A lot of the pods in those open shots were empty. I think Trinity becomes the one that saves us all. There's a shot of her kind of like warping
yes.
reality.
Yeah.
There's three of her. People thought it was five. It's three. It's a Trinity. And Jessica Henwick is merged in her reality in that shot.
Interesting.
Will you ask Coy when he lost his virginity?
Kate wants to know when you lost your virginity.
I'm kidding.
So, Kate, you might understand. I talk about comics because it's very, like, proper.
I love it.
It's a very popular thing, comic books, but I'm actually like a weird street philosopher, and Matrix is my shit.
Yeah, I love it. No, for sure.
I was like, the music was cool.
Yeah, no, it. All that, dude, it's very insightful, and I think that
so
I'm actually pretty excited to go back to watch 2 and 3, because I don't really, I've talked about it, that I thought it was good, but then it needed the third one to deliver, and I didn't think the third one delivered for me. But I'm going back to go check those out, because do you think that if this one delivers, will we see more Matrix films, or will we see a series, or both?
So Matrix 2 and 3 were originally supposed to be one film. The Wachowskis asked for a trilogy, and they wanted to make the prequel one installment and a sequel, a second installment. They said no, prequels don't do well because of how Star Wars had done poorly in the box office. So that's why the Animatrix came to be. And then they split the film in two, which is why the third one feels kind of limp. So you're not alone in that. I think there's a lot to be solved with this fourth film, because they can kind of do the Star Trek J.J. Abrams thing, where it's going to be a prequel, sequel, reboot, and they kind of like fix the problems of 2 and 3.
Yeah.
I think if this does well, they save the title Matrix Rebooted for a show.
Interesting. Mm. But I'm just to go, I mean, it's semantics, but like Phantom Menace crushed at the box office.
Sorry, critical reception. Like, Warner Brothers looking at, like, because that was 2003 when they were going to make The Matrix 3.
And
critical reception.
Yes, that's true. It didn't carry over the same way.
I don't mean to disparage it. It's just the popularity
of
the
concept. No, I know what you mean. No, look, and I talked about it with Kate in the beginning of this show, is that 99, the talk before Matrix came out, was not Matrix. It was Phantom Menace. And then they both came out, and the talk was Matrix.
And then with doing the act of making a prequel after they were competing was not good optics for WB.
No, totally. Okay, look, so what we need to do is...
Last thing I want to give Kate. Kate, you said you liked that song?
Yes.
So that's White Rabbit from Jefferson Airplane, and it's iconically in Fear of Moving in Las Vegas, which is where I knew it from. But the beautiful thing about that song
is... It's in the first one.
First film and in this film... But it's also this really interesting Easter allegory. There's also the religious overtones. And in the song, they reference like the big pill to make you small, to make you big. But the movie's actually released on December 22nd, 2021, which is not only a beautiful palindrome, 1-2-2-2-2-1,
There's
also a Bible verse that relates to someone self-actualizing, and that ties beautifully into the White Rabbit, which means the song is a metaphor, the release date's a metaphor, the movie's a metaphor, and it's all one fucking perfect bow.
You gotta get your ass in here to talk spoilers on it when it comes in. Yeah, for sure.
What are you doing with me?
I know, dude, I love it. We need to talk some more about it. You're gonna come, you'll be on the show pretty soon. We'll break down a little more Matrix talk. But the great Coy Jandrew, everybody. Check him out really soon. Follow him on Twitter and make sure that you, he's obviously a Matrix expert. So
I mean, truly.
Thank God I picked you over Coy, Kate.
Hey, truly. You've totally seen the trailers.
Just kidding. All right, listen, we'll see you very soon. How do you feel about tea tree oil?
I feel like it's really good for blemishes, but it's not the magic cure-all for everything. But it's really good for scars and blemishes. It's got merit.
How about cleaning up? How about the cleaning up the smell of dog shit?
I've limited experience with a cat, but I can report back.
Fair enough. All right, Coy, thank you so much. All right, bye. Coy Jandrew, everybody.
So smart.
This is obviously, he loves Matrix.
This lit him up.
Oh, he was ready to talk about it.
Yeah, you were just like, you turned a switch on him.
He was ready to talk about it.
And, I mean.
To get you more excited to watch the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I mean, there's no question. I mean, but it was like I just somehow missed it. It wasn't like,
I know. I'm just saying, but now that even more so with this trailer and everything
that
else.
This means, I mean, that there's people out there that this means so much to, and that's how I feel about so many things.
There's something else that's coming out that I just saw recently. I brought up before you came over. I was looking at the porn.
He was looking at the
porn. I was looking at the porn. Not to be confused with The Matrix, but the porn. I don't know where the hell it is. I'll bring it up on my phone. But there was another story that I thought of that I said, oh, that's interesting. Oh, it was, you know.
Porn.
Yes, the porn. But you know that all the rumors about with Spider-Man that's coming out with Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield and all of that. So they had said I guess Andrew Garfield was asked about it again, and he said, no, I'm not in the movie. I'm not doing it. He denied it again. Most people think he's full of shit.
Okay.
I think he's full of shit.
You do?
Yeah. I think he's full of shit. I think that there is a conversation that I think Marvel has with these people, with big reveals like this, and they go, you just fucking deny it all day long.
Okay.
All day.
They're
long.
Like, just lie.
Just fucking lie.
Yeah.
All day long. And then at the end of it.
Has Tobey Maguire been asked?
I'm sure he has. He's like, he hides. You haven't seen that guy in a while.
No, I know. He's just hidden.
He's just hidden.
I don't think I'm going to be in it.
No one's asked him anything. So, deny it. That's what they're going to say.
Yeah.
Deny it. And if he gets a chance to, if once it happens, they go, well, you said you weren't in. He's like, well, what was I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Is
he still with Emma Stone?
I don't think so.
Okay, that's a bummer.
I don't know if that's true, but I don't think so.
I feel
so.
Like they were at some point.
They were, but I don't think so.
It's a hot couple. It's a good couple.
Well, going back into those rewatches of Spider-Man, I'm actually pretty excited to go back. I liked the first Garfield one. The second one was shit, but the first one was good.
Yeah.
I liked that first movie. Did you ever see it?
I was a Tobey Maguire Spider-Man girl. Like, I only
so you
saw
would,
the
So
I
you
saw,
refused to watch
I saw No, I didn't refuse just to, but I to. Think also just whatever time in my life I was at, like, those, Tobey Maguire came out, and those first, he was in two, right?
Three.
Yeah. Okay, then maybe I didn't see the third.
You're lucky.
But, like, I actually filmed, James Franco's in which one?
I think he's in all three.
All three.
I don't know if he's in the third one.
I filmed a movie, like an indie film with him.
He's in the third one, yeah.
I filmed that when I walked into the sliding glass door. Yeah. He was taking a nap because he had to go shoot Spider-Man, whatever it was, the next day. But that was like that time. I was like, oh, yeah, like the upside down kiss.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's funny because I talked about this not too long ago, but we were going to watch a movie with my oldest, with Vivian, and we brought up, my wife and I, like, you know, maybe she's old enough for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So, and my wife and I have been doing like the Marvel rewatch. We took a break and we're up to Spider-Man, the first one, the Tom Holland one.
Yeah.
So we go to put it on and Vivi sees the cover. She's like, well, Iron Man's in this. She's like, she goes, this is like, he's already Spider-Man? She's like, I want to see how he becomes Spider-Man. And which is funny because most people today.
Yeah.
Are like, oh, I've seen him become Spider-Man so many different times, but she's a kid.
She's a
9-year-old kid. She wants to see it. So I said to my wife, I was like, God, we got to show her the Tobey Maguire one, right?
Maguire
so
one
she sees,
it.
And I said, do you want to see that one? She's like, yeah. And she watched, she loved it.
She did. Oh, I love that.
She loved it. And I'm going to rewatch it again for the rewatch series, but I really enjoy it. It's a good movie. There is some goofy shit going on in this movie.
Yeah.
Like Willem Dafoe is great as the Goblin, but he is goofy as hell. And the costume is so goofy. And there's a lot of silly stuff going on. Ha ha ha, Spider-Man.
And Alfred Molina is
he's in the second one.
He's in the second. Okay.
Bonnie Somerville is in the second one.
Oh my God, that's the screaming.
She's the screaming girl.
Oh my God, that's right.
And it's like, and we watched it that part of it the other day, and she got some scream on her.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. Good luck, Dave.
I also don't know how people shoot that. She probably had to do that 100 times.
Yeah, and I think she told me that Raimi was actually there on set. Because normally, sometimes they do like the second AD or somebody will come in there and shoot that shit.
Like, okay.
She said it was a very Raimi-esque shot.
Yes.
So I'm curious. I'd like to talk to her about that again. I mean, it was, shit, man, that was like, it was 20 years ago when she shot that. Because it came out.
Let's not bring that part up.
Or maybe more. No, I'm wrong. The second one came out in 2004. So that was, but so still, she shot in like 2003.
I would round up to 20 years.
Yeah, close to it. Truly. No shit. How much, how great is that thing?
I just,
it's great. I do love it. We're talking about this Tony Soprano pile.
You need to, if Sadie still stands by, it doesn't look like him. She needs to sit in this chair. It, nothing has ever looked more like James Gandolfini.
So I'll tell you what I did. Because the reason why I really like it is because you got to remember that in the show, when it gets thrown in the dumpster, it's got like this faded kind of quality to it and everything. And that's when Paulie retouches it, that's why it looks as it is. I did write out, I did reach out to the company and say like, you know, a little faded. And I sent pictures just to see if they were going to write, well, it's supposed to be. They said, we'll send you another one. So they're sending another one.
Oh my God.
If it's the exact same.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think I'm going to do with the other one?
When
do you think that I'm going to give it away to someone who I think really likes it or stick it in my office in Skybound?
I think I was going to say you're going to put it in Skybound.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I'm going to go to the Skybound office and put it there.
It's 100%.
I'm going to give it
to
anybody.
Or wherever the next studio is. Yeah, I mean, are you kidding?
Or the next studio.
Yeah, no. There's.
I'm going to give that to somebody? Fuck off.
No.
No way.
Sit and spin.
Yeah,
no way.
My wife the other day goes, I can't believe you spent $2,000. And I said, $2,000? I'm not a fucking lunatic. And then she actually got I got lucky because what I originally told her was like 170,
yeah.
230 or something, okay. Right? And she looked and she's like, wow, you spent like a little over 200 on it. And I was like, yep, yes I did.
Yes I did.
It's like, perfect.
That's what you remember me saying the first time.
That's what
too,
you
right? Yep.
Look, she thought $2,000. $2,000.
Did I ever tell you the story? Dickie's, my engagement ring, which I'm not wearing right now, because we're no longer engaged. No, because my fingers are too fat.
And because we don't want to hear more feedback.
Actually, because, wait a minute, you have it. You told me to take it off last time.
I know.
I just
pawned it.
Yeah. But my, so it's just, it's a sapphire ring. Excuse me. It's a sapphire ring. And it's like, we went to like downtown. Like he proposed with a piece of costume jewelry. He's like, I don't know what kind of ring you want. And we went and we picked out this ring. I was like, oh my God, I love that. That's it. That's it. That's it. And it was $1,800, okay?
Yeah.
So
it's a lot of Tony Soprano pictures.
It's a lot of Tony Soprano pictures. But it's an engagement ring, right? It doesn't have a lot of diamonds in it.
Right.
Like, it would be a lot more if it was a diamond. My in-laws thought it was $18,000.
Oh, no. So they lost their minds.
They lost their minds that my father-in-law, like, called Dickie, and he was like, listen,
she's
I guess
not
I,
worth it.
He's like, no. But I was, it's one of those things where you're like, you thought I wanted an $18,000 ring.
So you could walk around like this? Like just swatting people away?
I just want $18,000. How about that?
Just give me $18,000.
But his father was like, oh God, I mean, I guess I could sell the sailboat.
Oh,
he was like trying to figure out how to make it work. And I was like, you're lunatics. Because the mom was like, I think I can do better. My guy in New York can do better. And so she had him draw up one and it was like $2,300. I'm like, well, that's worse. She's like, what was yours? I said, $1,800. She's like, okay, we misunderstood that.
That's really funny.
It's like,
do you tell that story on stage?
No.
Oh, you need to.
No. Okay.
It's a great story.
Sold.
Really funny. It's like, especially, but even throwing in all that, the fact that it's just the, I would, if my husband spent $23,000, I'd say, just give me the $23,000.
Just give us, can I have the $18,000?
Just put, yeah, you know, buy me the
$18,000. That was an option. Was $18,000 an option with this family?
Buy me the $1,800 one and then put the rest in my bank account for, you know. Look, we're hoping this thing works out.
Listen.
But who knows?
It's for a rainy day.
Who knows?
By the way, I'm going to get a rain machine so it rains every day. 100%.
Yeah, it's like I was saying to you. I was watching, I just don't, but Tony Soprano and Carmella got married at like 20 years old.
Yeah.
I think it's a bad move.
Yeah.
These days, 20, 22, whatever it is. I say it many times on this show. I don't, how old were you when you got married?
I was 30.
Perfect
Yeah.
I think it's perfect age.
I had fucked everybody. I had already fucked everybody.
Congratulations.
Okay. And I found my forever dick. You know what I mean?
That's it. It literally. His name's Dickie. Not six. You're like, what's your name? Done.
That'll do.
It's in. It's appropriate. On brand.
What's your name? All right. I get it, guys. Okay.
On brand.
I get it. All right.
John Brand. Yeah. I never found anyone named Big Pussy. Never found that person. And if I did, it was on a Soprano show, and it's just not the same feel. Just didn't work out.
That took me out, Christian. That took me out.
Never found it.
Hey, you want to buy me a drink? You want to buy me a drink tonight? My name's Big Pussy.
Hey. It's like George.
Will you marry me?
Yeah, right. It's like George Carlin, my favorite, when he just talks about certain things like that they're so literal. And he's like, Pussyfoot. Hey, guys. He sounds like a disorder. Hey, guys. I have pussyfoot. You sure do, lady.
I am picturing pussy feet, right?
That's what he said. He goes, pussyfoot, a rare condition.
There's a squelching sound.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah. But he shows up and he does this thing. Hey, boys, I have pussyfoot. You sure do, lady. This is one of my favorite Carlin bits. It's so good.
Oh, yeah. George Carlin makes me laugh.
Have you not watched a lot of George?
No, I have. I've not watched a lot, but that one
love
really.
Old
I know.
Did you ever watch George in Carnegie?
I don't know that.
Oh,
I
Oh, it's my favorite.
It is.
Rat shit, okay. Bat shit, dirty old twat, 69 assholes tied in a knot. Hooray, lizard shit, fuck. It's like I got into an argument with my Rice Krispies today. I distinctly heard snap, crackle, fuck him. I don't know which one said it.
Oh my God. Yeah, I need to watch more of him.
He's
Where is he? Where is his stuff right now? What platform is it on? Where can I see it?
You're like, I mean,
Google it.
I would
bitch.
Assume HBO Max because okay. He did 1,000 specials for okay, them for back them. In the day. But Carlin and Carnegie is my favorite
okay.
of all time. It's the one that so I mentioned my late great friend Brian Cashew, who coming up.
It's about to be his 9/11. Anniversary, yeah.
So he got me into. Remember, I told you like in the Terminator when he had like laser discs. He was like the kid had laser discs, and we watched it. But he introduced me to George Carlin, and he's like, "Watch this," and I thought it was like this forbidden thing that I was listening to this guy cursing, and you know, but he was so goofy and so funny, and Carlin and Carnegie was the one that I love that special. I ran into it's funny at the Critics' Choice Awards. Oh my God! Was it Marvelous Miss Maisel?
Yeah, I'd seen it. Yeah.
What's the lead actress's name? Do you remember?
Rachel Brosnahan.
So I sweetheart of a girl.
Yeah.
Ran into her with a woman.
She's amazing. Yeah.
I ran into her and was speaking to her, and I don't know if she ever took my suggestion, but we got into a pretty long conversation about comedy in general, and I told her that I said, "Have you ever watched Carlin and Carnegie?" And she's like, "No, I never have." I said, "That's one you should watch."
Yeah,
I don't know if she listened or not. She probably said fuck off. But it's my favorite.
I actually feel like she's the type of person that does a lot of research. So I think
she told me she did. Yeah. That's what the conversation was. How much research she was doing and all
she's
the specials
that
she had watched. Yeah. And I said, watch Carlin and Carnegie. It's so great. But so much so that before you leave here today, I'm going to bring up a clip of Carlin and Carnegie.
Good.
So we should, but not on the show, but off the air. But anyway, this was a fun show.
This was a fun show.
We'll do it again. And I know, so for people who don't know, Kate is going to be back on Monday, and we welcome Katie Sackhoff to the show.
I'm
Katie,
so
have you even met Katie before?
We did a virtual, like in the middle of the pandemic. We
but not,
met,
not in person.
Not in person.
Okay.
No.
Did you meet her back in the day? At Room 5? No.
I don't think so. I mean, you say I might have. I remember her being there, but
she used to come to Room 5.
Yeah, I remember her being there, but I don't know if I ever
met her.
I don't know if I ever met her.
Okay.
But boy, do I love her in The Mandalorian.
So good in The Mandalorian.
Oh my God.
She's great in the fact that she's, she's got and she has that show Another Life on Netflix. She's really doing well
right
now.
Did she voice Bo-Katan in Clone Wars?
Yeah.
She did.
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
So get your questions ready.
I'm actually going to just be like, will you do a voice memo for my
son?
No shit.
Yeah, she will. So I'm so bummed because Vivian loves her.
Vivian doesn't go to school tomorrow.
I know. The problem is that she's going to be in school.
Nope.
And I know.
Not
I know.
That day. She's not.
My wife's not going to let it happen. But it's, and I understand. I'm probably going to have, I'll ask Katie to do a video for her, for sure.
Yeah.
But like because she wanted, up until last week, she was going to dress as Bo-Katan for Halloween.
Oh my God.
But she's obsessed with these books. What the hell is it called? These books, The Keepers of Lost Cities or something?
Oh.
Something like that. I think that's the name. I
love your daughter.
All she does is read.
It's incredible.
It's incredible. She corrects me on shit like all the time. Like this morning, she said
she would
something.
Be talking with Koi right now. She's like, I do think that's the allegory. I think that's correct.
She's not my kid.
Yeah, she's like, I do. You know what? I noticed that palindrome 12, 22, 21. 100%. I got to tell you, it is a beautiful palindrome.
Yeah, I tell her all the time. I'm like, what's your gift? She goes, my brain.
Oh.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, she's, so I'm, I got lucky with that one.
Oh my God. You didn't get lucky. You guys, you molded it.
Yeah, I mean, she's, and then, Sadie and, molded it. And then I got one of the Sopranos as my 3-year-old.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah.
Holy shit.
That one, that's the one you molded.
Did I tell you the thing about the crayons?
No.
I did. No, the coloring. I told you this one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She, hey, so we're going to do some coloring? Yeah. I'm going to do my stickers. Well, where am I going to color with? Color by yourself.
Who color by yourself?
It's just like.
Oh, you're such a loser. It's pathetic.
She really is. She walks up. We have the dog gate up. She goes, I want in. Fucking kid. And I, she just cracks me up so much.
It does not help that she has your cute little face and her the curls.
The curls.
Those curls make me.
It's
I
like
clench
Shirley
my
Temple.
Teeth.
It's like Shirley Temple. And it's crazy. I got to show you a video of her and Vivian started singing this song from this show she's watching. She goes, I want to go. And Vivian goes, I didn't even know the words. She goes, I do. And she starts saying, she had no shit. And she's just like, hi-ya, ya, abaya, abaya, but committing. Like, and she.
Make it till you make it, honey.
She does it all the time. It's my favorite thing in the world. You know, what's that song? That's not my name.
That's not my name. So they call me Stacy.
And Sadie goes, look at Maisie, right? And the song's on. And it's, but first time ever on that she ever heard it. And she's like, I don't know if I have it. 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 And I'm like, this kid is just.
She
doesn't give a shit if anybody's around. Like, whatever.
She's coaching Andrew Garfield on how to lie.
100%. This kid, I'm telling you. I'm the fucking Sopranos.
She's like, listen, if they ask you if you're in the movie, you say no. If they ask you if you know the names to this word, the words to this song, you do.
That's right.
Okay?
We got an issue. Someone asked you something. You don't say yes.
You look so much like him.
You put your hands out. Put me over the gate. Fucking Silvio Dante for a 3-year-old. All right, guys. This was fun. I had a blast. Happy to have Kate here. Remember, don't forget that we're going to have Katie Sackhoff on Monday. Don't miss that episode. It's going to be a lot of fun. Me, Kate, and Katie. So join us. Peace. Subscribe to us on podcast form. Very important, everybody. Comment, I'll comment back. Love you. Thanks.
The Jeep Grand Cherokee 4xE. It's electrified. Boogie, woogie, woogie. So you can boogie, woogie, woogie into the forest.
Boogie.
Boogie, woogie, woogie through the mud. Or boogie, woogie, woogie to work. Where you boogie woogie woogie down the hall to your boss's office to tell him you quit.
Sure got the boogie.
Then you boogie woogie woogie to the elevator as he boogie woogie woogies after you, begging, please, take me with you. Boogie. The electrified Jeep Grand Cherokee 4xE. Learn more at Jeep.com. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.